Praise the Lord. This is Tony Alamo, your pastor, and I haven't been your pastor. I want to be. So consider that when you hear these messages and tapes, on the tapes and in my literature. And we're reading through the Bible, and this is 1 Samuel chapter 20. There are 42 verses in this chapter, and we have a couple of letters from people that have received literature and gotten saved and seen others saved and power of God come into their lives. And then I also have, if there's time, I'm going to do the, of course, we do the translation and commentary. And then if we have time, I'm going to do the fourth in a series of the flesh. Because we need to know about the spiritual realm and the flesh and what it is that is controlling our flesh, whether it's we're walking around in the flesh or if we're being controlled, if our flesh is under subjection to the Holy Spirit, and if we have been crucified with Christ, and if we now have taken the responsibility of crucifying our own flesh, because we have to. There's only one real cross in the universe, and that's the cross of Christ. And Christ has crucified our old man, but it never says he crucified our flesh. So it's our responsibility to crucify our flesh. We must take it upon ourselves to do that. And so right now, though, let's go up to the throne of the Lord to ask him to anoint these tapes. Father, we thank and praise your holy name for eternal life. God, we thank you so much because it happens, all this happens from your Spirit. It's not by man's power or man's might or anything that we can do, because but we do have a will, and you've told us that we must exercise our will to please you, to do your will. And Lord, we ask that you anoint these words from your word, and also the commentary and the translation, and also that you will anoint the reading of these letters from your satisfied customers, and that you'll anoint the message, everything that's done on these tapes, Lord, regarding the spirit and the flesh. So, Father God, we praise, we worship you, we thank you. We know that we must worship you. We must take the time out of the day to communicate with you. And, Lord, we ask that you, being it is that we're now communicating to you, Lord, we ask that you communicate yourself to us through the words done on this tape so that we can be stronger and that more of you will live in us today than you did yesterday. We ask it, Father God, that you'll open the ears, the spirit, the mind of all the hearers so that you can take root in their eyes, in their spiritual eyes, in their minds, in their spirit, so that their body, their flesh, can be crucified with you. You have crucified the old man, and now you, Lord, we can apply your cross, which is our cross, into our spirit, so that we, as two, can live the same life that you lived. Because it's you, your life, living in us and through us that causes us on a daily basis to continue on to the end, that we may be in heaven on the last day or whenever you take us up, that we can be with you forevermore. Lord, we ask that you heal this situation with Bob's dad, that you heal him, and that you make a way to where we can, where Bob can get him out of that hospital that wants to murder him, and out of the hands of Bob's younger brother. And Lord, that you'll make moves against all those that are attempting to crucify your name, your word, your people. Those that are fighting. Lord, you said that in the last days that you would then wage war against Satan as never before. And we know that it is us in the that are walking in the Spirit that you're going to wage war by the Spirit, not with carnal weapons, but spiritual weapons, and that we need to speak. We need to let you speak your words of power into this world so that your kingdom can be established here on earth as it is in heaven. And Lord, we know that you're going to do it. We know that you hear, because you're answering me right now, Lord. And therefore, I know you're going to do it. And to be double sure of it, we're asking in the name of Jesus. And everyone says amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Now, did you feel the Holy Spirit there?
Yes.
Amen. That wasn't me praying. It was the Lord praying through me. Amen?
Amen.
All right, so this is 1 Samuel chapter 20, verse 1 of 42 verses.
Jonathan helps David, King James Version, verse 1. And David fled from Naoth in Ramah and came and said before Jonathan, "What have I done? What is mine iniquity? And what is my sin before thy father, that he seeketh my life?" Verse 2. And he said unto him, "God forbid, thou shalt not die. Behold, my father will do nothing, either great or small, but that he will show it me. And why should my father hide this thing from me? It is not so." Verse 3. And David sware moreover, and said, "Thy father certainly knoweth that I have found grace in thine eyes. And he saith, Let not Jonathan know this, lest he be grieved. But truly as the Lord liveth, and as thy soul liveth, there is but a step between me and death." Verse 4. Then said Jonathan unto David, "Whatsoever thy soul desireth, I will even do it for thee."
Yeah, in other words, David is saying, your dad knows that we're friends. Amen?
Amen.
And so he's not going to say anything to tip you off that he's going to kill me. Okay, and then go ahead.
Verse 5. And David said unto Jonathan, "Behold, tomorrow is the new moon, and I should not fail to sit with the king at meat. But let me go, that I may hide myself in the field unto the third day at even." Verse 6. "If thy father at all miss me, then say, David earnestly asked leave of me, that he might run to Bethlehem, his city, for there is a yearly sacrifice there for all the family." Verse 7. "If he says thus, it is well, thy servant shall have peace. But if he be very wroth, then be sure that evil is determined by him." Verse 8. "Therefore thou shalt deal kindly with thy servant, for thou hast brought thy servant into a covenant of the Lord with thee. Notwithstanding, if there be in me iniquity, slay me thyself, for why shouldest thou bring me to thy father?" Verse 9. And Jonathan said, "Far be it from thee, for if I knew certainly that evil were determined by my father to come upon thee, then would not I tell it thee?" Verse 10. Then said David to Jonathan, "Who shall tell me? Or what if thy father answer thee roughly?" Verse 11. And Jonathan said unto David, "Come and let us go out into the field." And they went out, both of them, into the field. Verse 12. And Jonathan said unto David, "O Lord God of Israel, when I have sounded my father about tomorrow any time, or the third day, and behold, if there be good toward David, and I then send not unto thee, and show it thee." Verse 13. the Lord do so and much more to Jonathan. But if it please my father to do thee evil, then I will show it thee and send thee away, that thou mayest go in peace, and the Lord be with thee as he hath been with my father. Translation, verse 1 through 13. Jonathan helps David. David now fled from Naoth to Ramah and found Jonathan. Quote, "What have I done?" he exclaimed. "What is my crime? How have I offended your father that he is so determined to kill me?" Unquote. Verse 2. Quote, "That's not true!" exclamation mark, Jonathan protested. "I'm sure he's not planning any such thing, for he always tells me everything he's going to do, even the little things. I know he wouldn't hide something like this from me. It just isn't so!" exclamation mark, unquote. Verse 3. Then David took an oath before Jonathan and said, quote, "Your father knows perfectly well about our friendship, so he had said to himself, 'I won't tell Jonathan. Why should I hurt him? But I swear to you that I am only a step away from death!'" exclamation mark. "I swear it by the Lord and by your own soul!" exclamation mark, unquote. Verse 4. Quote, "Tell me what I can do!" exclamation mark, Jonathan exclaimed. Verse 5. David exclaimed, quote, "Tomorrow we celebrate the new moon festival. I've always eaten with your father on this occasion, but tomorrow I'll hide in the field and stay there until the evening of the third day." Verse 6. "If your father asks where I am, tell him I asked permission to go home to Bethlehem for an annual family sacrifice." Verse 7. "If he says, quote, 'Fine!'" exclamation mark, unquote, "then you'll know all is well. But if he's angry and loses his temper, then you will know he was planning to kill me." Verse 8. "Show me this kindness as my sworn friend, for we made a covenant together before the Lord. Or kill me yourself if I have sinned against your father. But please don't betray me to him!" exclamation mark, unquote. Verse 9. Quote, "Never!" exclamation mark, Jonathan exclaimed. "You know that if I had the slightest notion my father was planning to kill you, I would tell you at once," unquote. Verse 10. Then David asked, quote, "How will I know whether or not your father is angry?" Unquote. Verse 11. Quote, "Come out to the field with me," Jonathan replied, and they went out there together. Verse 12. Then Jonathan told David, quote, "I promise by the Lord, the God of Israel, that by this time tomorrow, or the next day at the latest, I will talk to my father and let you know at once how he feels about you. If he speaks favorably about you, I will let you know." Verse 13. "But if he's angry and wants you killed, may the Lord kill me if I don't warn you so you can escape and live. May the Lord be with you as he used to be with my father." King James Version, verse 14. "And thou shalt not only while yet I live show me the kindness of the Lord, that I die not." Verse 15. "But also thou shalt not cut off thy kindness from my house forever. No, not when the Lord hath cut off the enemies of David, every one from the face of the earth." Verse 16. "So Jonathan made a covenant with the house of David, saying, 'Let the Lord even require it at the hand of David's enemies.'" Verse 17. "And Jonathan caused David to swear again, because he loved him, for he loved him as he loved his own soul." Verse 18. "Then Jonathan said to David, 'Tomorrow is the new moon, and thou shalt be missed, because thy seat will be empty.'" Verse 19. "And when thou hast stayed 3 days, then thou shalt go down quickly, and come to the place where thou didst hide thyself when the business was in hand, and shalt remain by the stone Ezel." Verse 20. "And I will shoot 3 arrows on the side thereof, as though I shot at a mark." Verse 21. "And behold, I will send a lad, saying, 'Go, find out the arrows.' If I expressly say unto the lad, 'Behold, the arrows are on this side of thee,' take them, then come thou, for there is peace to thee, and no hurt, as the Lord liveth. Verse 22. But if I say thus unto the young man, Behold, the arrows are beyond thee, go thy way, for the Lord hath sent thee away. Translation, verse 14 through 22. And may you treat me with the faithful love of the Lord as long as I live. But if I die, verse 15, treat my family with this faithful love, even when the Lord destroys all your enemies. Verse 16. So Jonathan made a covenant with David, saying, quote, May the Lord destroy all your enemies! Exclamation mark, unquote. Verse 17. And Jonathan made David reaffirm his vow of friendship again, for Jonathan loved David as much as he loved himself. Verse 18. Then Jonathan said, quote, Tomorrow we celebrate the new moon festival. You will be missed when your place at the table is empty. Verse 19. The day after tomorrow, toward evening, go to the place where you hid before, and wait there by the stone pile. Verse 20. I will come out and shoot three arrows to the side of the stone pile, as though I were shooting at a target. Verse 21. Then I will send a boy to bring the arrows back. If you hear me tell him, quote, they're on this side, then you will know as surely as the Lord lives that all is well and there is no trouble. Verse 22. But if I tell him, quote, go farther, the arrows are still ahead of you, unquote, then it will mean that you must leave immediately, for the Lord is sending you away. King James Version, verse 23. And as touching the matter which thou and I have spoken of, behold, the Lord be between thee and me forever. Verse 24. So David hid himself in the field, and when the new moon was come, the king sat him down to eat meat. Verse 25. And the king sat upon his seat as at other times, even upon a seat by the wall. And Jonathan arose, and Abner sat by Saul's side, and David's place was empty. Verse 26. Nevertheless, Saul spake not anything that day, for he thought, Something hath befallen him. He is not clean. Surely he is not clean. Verse 27. And it came to pass on the morrow, which was the second day of the month, that David's place was empty. And Saul said unto Jonathan his son, Wherefore cometh not the son of Jesse to meat, neither yesterday nor today? Verse 28. And Jonathan answered Saul, David earnestly asked leave of me to go to Bethlehem. Verse 29. And he said, Let me go, I pray thee, for our family hath a sacrifice in the city, and my brother, he hath commanded me to be there. And now, if I have found favor in thine eyes, let me get away, I pray thee, and see my brethren. Therefore he cometh not unto the king's table. Verse 30. Then Saul's anger was kindled against Jonathan, and he said unto him, Thou son of the perverse, rebellious woman, do not I know that thou hast chosen the son of Jesse to thine own confusion, and unto the confusion of thy mother's nakedness? Verse 31. For as long as the son of Jesse liveth upon the ground, thou shalt not be established, nor thy kingdom. Wherefore now send and fetch him unto me, for he shall surely die.
You know what Saul is saying? It's like, I'm the king of Israel, and you'll be the next king. But if David lives, he won't be, because God is going to anoint him to be king. And then you won't be able to be king. So it's, why are you so friendly to him? Do you not want to be the king of Israel? Okay, then what?
Verse 32. And Jonathan answered Saul his father, and said unto him, Wherefore shall he be slain? What hath he done?
What verse was that?
32.
Okay.
Translation, verse 23 through 32. And may the Lord make us keep our promises to each other, for he has witnessed them. Verse 24. So David hid himself in the field, and when the new moon festival began, the king sat down to eat. Verse 25. He sat at his usual place against the wall, with David sitting opposite of him, and Abner 6th. Saul didn't say anything about it that day, for he said to himself, "Something must have made David ceremonially unclean. Yes, that must be why he's not there. Why he's not here." Verse 27. But when David's place was empty again the next day, Saul asked Jonathan, quote, "Why hasn't the son of Jesse been here for dinner either yesterday or today?" Unquote. Verse 28. Jonathan replied, quote, "David earnestly asked me if he could go to Bethlehem." Verse 29. He wanted to take part in the family sacrifice. His brother demanded that he be there, so I told him he could go. That's why he isn't here. Unquote. Verse 30. Saul boiled with rage at Jonathan. Quote, "You stupid son of a whore!" Exclamation mark. He swore at him.
Well, if he was the son of a whore, then Saul was married to a whore, right? Then what?
"Do you think I don't know that you want David to be king in your place, shaming yourself and your mother?" Verse 31. "As long as that son of Jesse is alive, you'll never be king. Now go and get him so I can kill him!" Exclamation mark, unquote. Verse 32. Quote, "But what has he done?" Jonathan demanded. "Why should he be put to death?" Unquote. King James Version, verse 33. And Saul cast a javelin at him to smite him, whereby Jonathan knew that it was determined of his father to slay David.
I wouldn't want to come to suffer either if the king had thrown two javelins at me. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, then what? That wouldn't, I don't think I'd be able to digest my meal very well. And then what else?
Verse 34. So Jonathan arose from the table in fierce anger, and did eat no meat the second day of the month, for he was grieved for David, because his father had done him shame. Verse 35. And it came to pass in the morning that Jonathan went out into the field at the time appointed with David, and a little lad with him. Verse 36. And he said unto his lad, "Run, find out now the arrows which I shoot." And as the lad ran, he shot an arrow beyond him. Verse 37. And when the lad was come to the place of the arrow which Jonathan had shot, Jonathan cried after the lad and said, "Is not the arrow beyond thee?" Verse 38. And Jonathan cried after the lad, "Make speed, haste, stay not." And Jonathan's lad gathered up the arrows and came to his master. Verse 39. But the lad knew not anything, only Jonathan and David knew the matter. Verse 40. And Jonathan gave his artillery unto his lad and said unto him, "Go carry them to the city." Verse 41. And as soon as the lad was gone, David arose out of a place toward the south, and fell on his face to the ground, and bowed himself three times. And they kissed one another, and wept one with another, until David exceeded. Verse 42. And Jonathan said to David, "Go in peace, for as much as we have sworn both of us, in the name of the Lord, saying, 'The Lord be between me and thee, and between my seed and thy seed forever.'" And he arose and departed, and Jonathan went into the city. Translation, verse 33 through 42. Then Saul hurled his spear at Jonathan, intending to kill him. So at last Jonathan realized that his father was really determined to kill David. Verse 34. Jonathan left the table in fierce anger and refused to eat all that day, for he was crushed by his father's shameful behavior toward David. Verse 35. The next morning, as agreed, Jonathan went out into the field and took a young boy with him to gather his arrows. Verse 36. Quote, "Start running," he told the boy, "so you can find the arrows as I shoot them." Unquote. So the boy ran, and Jonathan shot an arrow beyond him. Verse 37. When the boy had almost reached the arrow, Jonathan shouted, The arrow is still ahead of you. Verse 38, hurry, hurry, don't wait. So the boy quickly gathered up the arrows and ran back to his master. Verse 39, he, of course, didn't understand what Jonathan meant. Only Jonathan and David knew. Verse 40, then Jonathan gave his bow and arrow to the boy and told him to take them back to the city. Verse 41, as soon as the boy was gone, David came out from where he had been hiding, near the stone pile, and David bowed to Jonathan with his face to the ground. Both of them were in tears as they embraced each other and said goodbye, especially David. Verse 42, at last Jonathan said to David, quote, go in peace, for we have made a pact in the Lord's name. We have entrusted each other and each other's children into the Lord's hands forever. Then David left, and Jonathan returned to the city.
So it's very important to have friends, amen? Because when you do what the Lord says, you will have friends. You have to show yourself friendly to have friends, the Bible states. Now we've got some commentary on chapter 20 and the 42 verses of 1 Samuel.
Chapter 20, verse 5. The new moon was a time of rest on the first day of each month. Saul had made it a three-day festival in his court. 20, verse 12. The Lord God of Israel is, quote, witness, unquote. Jonathan takes an oath of loyalty to David rather than to Saul, his own father and the king. 20, verse 15. David kept his promises to Jonathan when he found Mephibosheth, Mephibosheth, Jonathan's crippled son, and brought him to live in the palace. See 2 Samuel chapter 9. 20, verse 19. Quote, day of the deed, unquote, refers to the conversation Saul and Jonathan had about David. Chapter 19, verse 2 through 3. 20, verse 26. He is unclean. That is ceremonially unclean according to the Levitical law. 20, verse 29. Quote, my brother has commanded me, unquote.
See, so there's another law, the Levitical law. And there's the Levirate law. And then there's the law of sacrifices. And then there's the law of clean food. And there's all kinds of laws in the Bible. Then there's the moral law, which is the Ten Commandments. And then there's the law of sin and death. And then there's the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. And that's where we have to be if we want to get into heaven. Amen? And there's even more laws than what I told you about. The law of nature. Amen?
Amen.
Not Mother Nature. God made nature, okay? He doesn't call it Mother Nature. When there's calamities and catastrophes, the Lord causes them. And he brags about it. Then what?
It was prerogative of the oldest brother to set these family occasions and command all the family members to attend. 20, verse 31. Saul knows, as does Jonathan, that the kingdom has already been given to David. 20, verse 4. David was exceedingly blessed to have a friend like Jonathan. After hearing of David's difficulties, he responded, quote, tell me what I can do, exclamation mark, unquote.
Yeah, there's the law of marriage, amen? And then there's the law of between the children and parents. Amen?
Amen.
There's all kinds of laws in the Bible. All right? Then what else?
Reliable and resourceful, Jonathan was ready to be supportive in helping David through his crisis. His willing response should challenge all of us who have loved ones in the process of growing mature in faith. We must be available to help others as they seek our help, as they seek victory over their dependencies, over their flesh and the world.
You know, when you read the Bible to people, then people find out if they really love the Lord or if they hate him. If people hate any part of the word of the Lord, they hate God. They're God-haters, and eventually they will leave the church because they can't stand the word of God. And they think that the common knowledge of the carnal people in the world is more acceptable to them than the spiritual aspect of the Word of God, which is supernatural. They have want nothing to do with the supernatural because it causes them to first crucify their flesh, and they get sick and tired of hearing it, and they immediately show that they hate God's Word. They hate God, and they hate anyone that preaches the Word. Okay? And they just, and you know, that some of them think they love the Lord when they first come into the church, and then they start hearing the real Word of the Lord, which is the Lord. And then they just say, wow, it's like they just think, I'm a devil. Amen? It's like these homosexuals today, you know, they go out on a date and their boyfriend, you know, they say, you don't really like that girl, you're a homosexual. And so he kisses the girl and says, I'm gay. Right? Well, that's the way it is when the people start hearing the Word of God. Pretty soon they realize that they hate the Word of God. They say, I'm a devil. I mean, if they want to get honest with themselves. Okay, then what?
That was it on the commentary.
But you know, the people are not really gay. Those people are more tormented than anybody on the face of this earth. They use those buzzwords, gay. They're not gay at all. You know, in the clothing industry, in the motion picture industry, and in the recording industry, they're just places infested with those people. And I know them to be the most tormented people on the face of this earth, and they're suicidal. They commit suicide. And they know they're committing suicide when they have sexual relationships with each other because they know they're going to catch AIDS. The average lifespan of them is around in their 20s to the 40s. That's about it. That's the average. Okay, now, that was 1 Samuel chapter 20, and it's 42 verses, and now we've got a couple of letters here to read from people that are out in the world that have received the literature and are distributing.
This one's from Ashanti, Ghana. Dear sir, it is a pleasure to write to you this letter once again. I was very glad when I received your letter on May 9th, 2003. I hope by the grace of our sympathetic Father you are well as I am now. Sorry for taking such a donkey time to write to you. Sir, as you told me in your letter that I should win souls for Christ, as Luke 15:7-10 says, for each soul that is saved, the angels rejoice. I know that the Lord has richly and spiritually blessed you, because the letter came on Friday when we were taking our last subject. I gave three of the Messiah books to my mates, and after the weekend they told me that because of your Messiah, they have now known that the Lord we worship is great. From now on, they have taken Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. Please, as you suggested in the last letter you sent to me to win souls for Christ, your literature entitled Dry Bones and other world newsletters have helped me and my friends, especially my friend called Seth, who did not believe that there was a Savior in Christianity, and tried to worship gods. Please, sir, I am begging you to send me a preaching cassette, a holy Bible, and 20 copies of the Messiah book, so that things may be easier for me when someone asks me about the Word of God.
I'm sure our mailroom has already done that. And then what else?
As we can read from Matthew chapter 5, verse 4 through 8, says, Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. The things I have required will help me to preach well. I hope you will take me as your pen pal friend. Please, sir, I always trust in God, and I know Jesus will make some changes in my life. Please extend my warmest greetings to everybody at home, especially Sion. hoping to hear from you in a jiffy. Yours sincerely, G.S. from Ashanti.
It does make a lot of changes in our life because he is the one that crucified our old man. But it's up to us, so he doesn't do it all. We have to take it upon ourselves to crucify our flesh. And that's a forthcoming message that I'll be bringing. I don't know if it's this next one or the one after this, but or a couple from here. We are responsible for crucifying our flesh. And we do that by receiving the Holy Spirit every day. We must be anointed with the Holy Spirit. We were not going to be able to control our flesh. We must be under the control of the Holy Spirit. We must take the cross of Christ into us. And it's our responsibility to do that on a daily basis. Okay, then what?
This one's from Hong Kong.
Hong Kong, China. So we are in over 200 countries, and I just thank and praise the Lord that the Lord told me to do these tapes to read through the Bible with everybody, because at the time that the Lord told me to do this, there wasn't really anybody in the church taking it upon themselves to read the Bible. A lot of them didn't even know how to read it correctly to the brothers and sisters. And there's a lot of people in the church that are not brothers and sisters. And other people in there trying to homogenize the gospel and making it look as though we should just merge into all different religions, when the Lord tells us that religion is of the devil, but salvation is of the Lord. We don't need religions. We can see what religion is doing to this world. We need Christ. Amen? The one world religion is trying to get everybody to get into one religion because they're saying this is causing war. No, Christians have never caused war before, those that belong to Christ. There are many people that call themselves Christians that have started wars and are continuing to, like Catholics, they've caused all the major wars. The Bible says that they're the mother of abominations, that they are the problem. They're the one that have caused every evil thing on the face of this earth, because they're led by Satan. Satan uses human flesh just as God uses human flesh. And so what it is a war of words. And they want everybody to assimilate. They're doing everything they can to murder the word God. And we know that the Pope and the Vatican is in charge of the government. And ever since they've taken a firm hold, they now control the secular schools, and they control the media, which is the voice of Satan. They just lull everybody sound asleep. And they say it's turned back into a funeral parlor there in Los Angeles. There's very few people that are praising and thanking the Lord. And they're doing it, some of them when I'm there, they do it mechanically. You can see their heart is not really in it. And I've asked several of the brothers there that I know are of the Lord to report these people to me, because the Bible says when they don't measure up to the Word of God, this is the 11th chapter of the book of Revelation, that you're to put them out with the Gentiles, the unbelievers. And that's exactly what I'm going to do. Okay, because it's a commandment from the Lord, right? Okay, so let's go ahead and finish this letter.
Dear Pastor Alamo, greeting you in God's wonderful name, and God's bountiful blessings be always upon you and your ministry, together with all of your staff or co-workers in this wonderful ministry. I was overjoyed to receive your literature together with the King James Version Bibles, and especially some literature about Catholicism. The literatures and Bibles will be sent to the Philippines, as they really need those materials. A lot of Christian churches in the Philippines are lacking materials because of financial reasons. Those literatures about Catholicism, some of it I gave to those persons I am witnessing to, and really, tears are flowing for those revelations they read. They were enlightened because for many years they were deeply brainwashed with their wrong beliefs.
Not brainwashed, brain damaged. I'm the one that's washing their brains with the Word of God. Amen? And the Bible says that the Word of God does purge your brain, your spirit. Amen?
Amen.
It purges you, cleans you, cleanses you. So we're in the business of washing the brain with the Word of God, and this evil one-world government, New World Order, the what they call the United Nations. They're trying to unite people into one religion, which is a false religion. The Lord won't stand for it. He says that there's only one way to get into the kingdom of heaven, and that we cannot associate ourselves with Buddha or Hinduism or Shintoism or Mohammedism or Catholicism or anything like that. We have to keep ourselves separate and holy. And so anyone that makes you think that there's going to be peace by joining up with the devil, you cannot. The Bible says that Jesus is the Prince of Peace. And the Lord says that we have to make a stand against such doctrine as that. And if you don't, you're taking on the mark of the beast. You're taking it into your soul. And there's no forgiveness for that on this side of eternity or in the kingdom of heaven. So you're going to have to make a stand. You're going to have to deny yourself and deny all false religions, all lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. And you're going to have to take up the cross and deny yourself and follow the Lord. Okay? The Lord never joined up with Judaism, Catholicism, any of them, because Judaism is a false religion, because even though it talks about Moses and so on, they denied the Lord Jesus Christ, who is the Lord of glory, the Savior of the world. And if any religion that denies Christ as being God is a false religion, okay, there's no other way to cut it. Amen?
Amen.
Now, these Jews walk around with pride, you know, that they know the law of Moses and they can say the Shema and all this kind of stuff. That's garbage in the eyes of the Lord. Because all the Shema is, I can say, say it in English. And the Lord understands English. He's the one that doled out all the languages. I had a friend of mine who was Hebrew and spoke it and said, how are you going to talk to the Lord if you don't know how to speak Hebrew, you know, when you get to heaven? I'm not worried about it, amen? Because the Lord can whip a Hebrew on me and nothing flat if he wants to, right? Mm-hmm. He did it on all those other people. I had him speaking Chinese within a flash of a second, and Hebrew and Aramaic and English and Japanese and everything. It confused him. He just did that with the twinkling of an eye, and he can do that. So it's no big thing, but one thing for sure is the Lord is not going to change his word, and this isn't anything that's modern. All these idol worshipers, they don't like to hear the word of God, because you have to do something. You have to carry a cross. You have to deny yourself. And the people of the world don't want to deny their flesh. They don't want to take the cross of Christ into them by the Holy Spirit. They don't want to be controlled by anybody, just their own emotions, their own feelings, their flesh. And that's what the whole world is doing now, is they're walking after their feelings. Everything that they can see, hear, smell, taste, and touch. But we don't walk by sight. They don't believe anything that they can't see. But the Bible keeps telling us that everything that we do see was made by that which we cannot see, made by the invisible world. And we have to realize that we have to become resurrected from our flesh. We have to crucify our flesh by walking in the Spirit, because the Bible plainly states that those that walk after the flesh are condemned, and those that walk after the Spirit are not condemned. And, you know, I've seen, I know that the Lord exists, because I know that His Spirit is in me, and I've seen His Word, and the Lord is checking me on telling of the other things, why I know that the Lord is real, because there's somebody listening to this tape that doesn't believe in the supernatural. And the Lord wants your soul. You know who you are, I don't. But the Lord is preventing me from saying certain things about the supernatural right now. And so I'm just going to follow His lead. Now let's finish the letter.
Pastor, since 1994, I was already receiving literature from your ministry. and I know that you're truly a faithful servant of God who deeply believes his teaching and are obeying his word.
Oh, yes, indeed. Okay, then what?
But some Christians here in Hong Kong are asking why you put holy before your church, Holy Olamo Church.
Why? Because we are holy. The Bible says those that walk after the Spirit are holy, if they're perfect. Amen?
Amen.
That if there's no condemnation to those that walk not after the flesh but after the Spirit, then you're not condemned. And that's all that matters, is that on the day of judgment that you're not condemned, that you're going into the kingdom of heaven. So if you're going into the kingdom of heaven, you have to be perfect, because there's no imperfection in the kingdom of God. Amen?
Amen.
So that's why I call myself holy. I wonder why people there in Hong Kong are not saying, why does the Catholic cult call themselves the Holy Roman Catholic Church? Because they're not holy. They are unholy. They are like Satan's cult. So you ought to tell the people that. The Bible says, be ye holy, for I am holy. Amen?
Amen?
And so I keep the commandments of the Lord. I believe that I am being holy as the Lord is being holy. And therefore, I want to say to the people of the world, this is the Holy Olamo Christian Church. But now we're calling it the Tony Olamo Christian Ministry, so a Christian church. And we're holy. Okay, I think I'll add that to the name again, just to irritate those Chinese people over there and any other demon-possessed nationality. People, there's demon-possessed nationality, and I just love to get their goat, because they are goats, okay? Now, you people direct your character assassination against the right people. Against Rome, because we are the holy church of God. The Bible says that we are sons of God, and if we're sons of God, by the Lord, we are holy. Some people say, by God, we are holy. Yeah, that's right, by God, we are holy. Amen?
Amen.
And so you, if God said it, that settles it, so shut up. Amen?
Amen.
Shut your face. Then what else?
Would you mind to explain it in one of your literatures, and please send it here to Hong Kong?
Okay, well, let's get to it and make sure this tape gets to Hong Kong. Because Hong Kong needs this word more than they need egg foo young.
Mm-hmm.
Amen? Okay, then what else?
As I explain it to them, that those who faithfully follow and obey your Savior are called saints or holy.
That's right. Those that obey the Lord are holy, and so are you, if you're obeying the Lord. And you don't need to back up because of a bunch of demon-possessed people. Say, why does a holy man of God call themselves holy? Why? Because they are holy. Amen?
Amen.
Why does the Lord call people like those people demon-possessed? Why? Because they are demon-possessed. Why did he call people vipers, snakes? Because they are vipers. They are snakes. Amen?
Amen.
The Bible says, talks about the apostles being holy. Amen?
Amen?
And the holy prophets of God. Okay, well, we're holy too. If we're walking in the Spirit, we're as holy as you can get. Amen?
Amen.
Can't get no more holy than getting into heaven. Amen?
Amen?
All right, then what?
But for further enlightenment, please explain to them, because some conservative Christians believe and keep telling me it is only the Lord that deserves to be called holy.
Yes, and the Bible says that we are the body of the Lord. Amen?
Amen.
So that's how you explain that. Doesn't the Bible say that you are the temple, we are the temple of God?
Yes.
Is the temple of God holy?
Yes.
Or is it unholy?
Holy.
Holy. Okay, so are they going to try to say that the servants of the Lord, the temple of God, is unholy? Well, then they have to be antichrist. Amen?
Amen.
I don't want to get into that position. I mean, they should not be straining about that. They must really be upset that we're holy. So that means they must be demons, devils. And I don't call them conservative Christians. I'm a conservative Christian because I don't believe in the liberal way that people today that call themselves Christians are. And that's why I say we don't need Christianity. What we need is Christ. Amen? Mm-hmm. There's too many false people that are calling themselves Christians, and they're not Christians. Like the Church of Christ. They call themselves the Church of Christ, but they're not. They are absolutely anti-Christ. Catholics call themselves Christians. Methodists and the Presbyterians call themselves Christians. And the Nazarenes, they have a form of godliness, the Bible says, but they deny the Holy Spirit, the power of God. So they're not Christians just because they say they are. Like President Bush says, he's a Christian. But Christians don't declare war and bomb innocent men, women, and children. So we know them by their works, amen, by their fruit. They are the same. They steal. They murder. They are false accusers. These are not Christians. And these people here that are questioning, they don't like anybody to put the name God on anything or anyone to put the name holy to anything. But they don't get upset about a cult, the Catholic cult, putting the name Holy Roman Catholic. To them, that is like prestigious. Okay, so let's go on.
I was so thankful for counting me in your regular list for all your Christian literatures. I was well fed by those articles.
Right, if you're being fed by the Holy Spirit through my literature, and it is the Lord that's giving me this literature, and you can feel the Spirit on these tapes, well, then it must be the Holy Spirit, amen?
Amen.
And if it's the Holy Spirit and the Holy Spirit is in me, then the Holy Spirit in me is holy, okay? And my Father's house, he has many mansions, amen? Many rooms that he lives in. And so it says, know ye not that you are the temple of the Holy Spirit? Now, if the Holy Spirit is residing in you, are you not holy?
Yes.
All right, so tell our Chinese, if they be brothers and sisters, why we call ourselves holy, because we are. Then what?
Really, hearing messages are not enough, but reading will make us grow more through him. I give glory. Pastor, I'm sorry, for at this time I have no job, but I hope in days to come to find one so I can also help your ministry financially.
Well, we will help you financially if you'll just get into the ministry. We'll help you by sending you Bibles, tapes, and literature, and you can distribute and start working for the Lord. And I don't know how much, you know, what it is over there, but we'll do as best we can to help you out. There's no unemployment in the Lord. And there are some very fine Christians in China. Some of the best Christians in the entire world are there. And I'm sure that they will give you a place to live and a place and some food to eat. And we'll be glad to send finances to help any church like that. All right, then what else?
Right now, all I can offer are my prayers for you and your ministry, for God's protection, good health, guidance, and full knowledge that only comes from him.
Praise the Lord.
Thank you for your braveness for exposing the things that need to be exposed.
It doesn't take any braveness at all. I just fear the Lord so much that I do what he says. I'm more afraid of him than I am all the rats in the world, and all the weasels in the world, and all the demons in the world, and all the false Christians. The Bible says, beware of false Christians. false brethren. Amen?
Amen.
Because they are false. And they hate us. They're more dangerous than anybody else. Those Catholics have murdered hundreds of millions of people. Beware of false Christians. But you never have to beware of Christ. Amen?
Amen.
Christ is our Savior and He's our protector. Just say, stay in the Spirit and He'll lead, guide, and direct you the right way. Then what?
Still nowadays, a lot of Christians don't know anything about world news because they're just content listening to the church messages and are not exposed to some reading materials. Your articles are just on time for our church members because we're at the battle at this moment for the problems we encounter from our own church mates too. I thank the Lord for you, Pastor, for your faithfulness to our Lord and Master. God bless you, and I will keep praying for all of you in your ministry. In His presence, R.L. from Hong Kong.
Praise the Lord. That's wonderful, you know, to hear from the brother there in Hong Kong. All right, now we're going to do a message on the flesh. How much have we? We've gone 45, 50 minutes so far. Okay, well, I think we'll just do it on another tape, all right? Okay, now we've had, this is 1 Samuel chapter 20 in the 42 verses. We've had the two letters, and we've had the commentary and the translations, and we just say, Lord, give us the fear, your fear. You've already given us the faith, the portion of faith. And we know that there's people in the church that don't love you. And I pray that you let it come to my mind that they surface so I can put them out. Because that's just your commandment, just as sure as if we were not to commit fornication or adultery, we're not to keep the wolves inside with the lambs. And so, Lord, I pray that you're going to cause everyone to have the fear of the Lord and that you're going to give them the love of the Word of God in them and that there'll be purpose in their hearts to subject themselves, that their objective will be that you destroy the old man, that you crucify the old man in them, as you did. You already did that at Calvary. But that now, if they are going to be subjects of yours, that they will subject themselves to the Holy Spirit, which is the same thing as carrying the cross and denying themselves. All right, and so, Father, we ask that, I pray that all you people that have heard this these messages today, that you'll meditate on these things both day and night. Stay in the Spirit, reject the world, love not the world, and unite yourself with the Lord. All that are with Him, anyone that's not with Him is against Him, He says. And if you're not being a working partner in the bringing about the kingdom of heaven, you're against the Lord. So until chapter 21, this is Tony Alamo, your pastor, and if I haven't been, I sure want to be, saying good night, praise the Lord, God bless you.